The information provided on this episode of Connect to Success on the North Carolina Reading Service is for general informational purposes only. All information is provided in good faith. However, we make no representation or warranty of any kind, expressed or implied, regarding the accuracy, adequacy, validity, reliability, or completeness of any information. Content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. You're listening to North Carolina Reading Service. This is Connect to Success. I am your hometown girl, Shadate Harriet Hill. Today's episode is pretty special. You know what I always say every month? I'm bringing you stories to inspire, empower, and all in hopes that you connect to your own success. And I hope today's episode does just that, because we have a great guest that's coming to us way from South Dakota. And his name is Rich Crawford. How are you doing, Rich?
Absolutely wonderful on a beautiful, beautiful morning.
Oh, wonderful. I'm so glad you can join us. Absolutely. Absolutely. That is just amazing to me. So when you got the job as a stockbroker, I mean, walk me through that, because they hired you to be a stockbroker. Now, I'm just imagining what you have to do. Like, they have at that time they had computers. Just walk me through that. How did you become that? How do you do that?
In the early years, there weren't computers to speak of, and I had to fly to New York City and have a member of the New York Stock Exchange read the test to me. And then I had to hire an assistant to read the computer screen, read the research reports. They gave me a phone book and a pat on the back and said, go find people with money. So you just had to, what we called back then, dial for dollars. You'd call some, just call a random number and introduce yourself and find out if they invest. And it was something you can't do today with all the do not call list and stuff today. Mm-hmm. It'd be a lot harder.
Absolutely.
But back then, that's what you did. Then it came along where I got a little Braille machine that spit the stock quotes out on a ticker tape kind of long strand of paper, so that I could get my own stock quotes to see what price of stocks. And then JAWS finally came along, and by 1990 or so, and we could then start reading the screen using JAWS. And then we came up with paperless Braille, and that really helped me read stuff, because I tried to read Braille, and I found that in remembering numbers, if I could see it in Braille, it stayed in my mind better than if I just heard JAWS speak it. So I encourage young people, especially, I don't care if you're partial or not, if you're reading at 10 to 15 words a minute with your eyes, with magnifying stuff, that's not competitive in life. Mm-hmm. You need to be able to read quicker than that. And I encourage all young people to learn Braille, because it will open the door for you that you can earn more money. Why is it blind people who read Braille can earn 20 to 30% more income? Why do you think that is?
Why is it?
Because it has nothing to do with Braille.
Okay.
It has to do with your personal attitude about yourself, that you're willing to do and put in the time to make yourself successful. That will carry over into anything that you're doing. Wow. It just, Braille is a byproduct of the type of person that's willing to do it.
Wow. Wow. Wow, that is amazing. Because when I'm listening to you talk about, you know, working as a stockbroker, I'm pretty sure you made it so that the next generation of people that can come out and do what you do. But I imagine in the early days you were the only one. Were there any others?
When I became a stockbroker, there were three of us that I know of in the country. Mm-hmm. Jim Wheat was one of the first blind stockbrokers, and it happened to be that his dad owned Wheat First Securities. So if your dad owns the company, there's a good chance he'll hire you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he had a college buddy named Joe Ingram down in Raleigh, North Carolina. He was the second blind stockbroker that I know of, and after I got my license, I flew down to Raleigh, North Carolina, and spent a couple days with Joe, seeing how he ran his business as a blind guy. And so I was only the third at the time.
Wow!
And since then, I have assisted 11 other blind guys into the investment business because I taught my clients it takes foresight, not eyesight, to make good investments.
Foresight.
And there is a difference.
Mm-hmm. Explain that difference.
Well, foresight means that you've got to look out farther than your nose today to what is going to happen in a, like computers. Mm-hmm. You have to look out to think, where is this going to take us? When in the oil business, you had to look out to see where was fracking going to take us. So I tell people, foresight, you look ahead, you don't look back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you're right. You don't need sight, eyesight to do that.
No.
You don't. So tell me more about being a stockbroker, because that's kind of still fascinated to me that you're a blind guy, as you say, and you know the stock market. I'm probably better than most people who aren't blind know the stock market or any other people, because I'm clueless about it. I'm clueless about it. So you tell me, let me know some things.
Well, I found that to be a stockbroker, you don't have to be a big analyst, because what you really are is a relationship manager. You help people by listening, and we say us blind guys are better listeners than sighted people sometimes. That's not always true, but we have to listen to what our clients' needs, expectation, risk, tolerance, these in their interest, and then you design an investment portfolio that fits into each individual person's will cycle, if you will. So you, as a relationship manager, when you're on the phone, people don't know you're blind.
Mm-hmm. True. That's true.
I had clients that never knew I was blind, and I worked with them for over 30 years.
Wow.
Because I had clients in 25 states and 4 countries.
My goodness.
Because if you worked with a guy and you screwed grandpa, you didn't get a shot at his grandkids' money.
Very
so
true.
If I did a good job for him, pretty soon he was telling his kids, well, this guy is helping me make money, you ought to help you. And then his kids, and it went on down the line. So I was fortunate to be working with fourth and fifth generations of family members, because I treated the parents and grandparents right. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said you've trained 11 blind people over the years on how you mentored them and showed them how to do it. And I think, as since you were talking about Raleigh, North Carolina, which is where we are, hi Raleigh people, I want you to share some tips with our audience, because I have heard, and the statistics say that there are a lot of blind people that find it hard to find a job. They find it hard to find employment. And I've ran into a few people that find it hard to find employment. So give me some tips. Give me some tips of what makes you a successful person in the workforce. How do you get there? How do you begin to plant the seeds to do what you do?
I share that there's four steps that I personally chose to do in my life that made the difference. One, you have to like yourself. You've got to be comfortable and okay with being a blind guy. I don't know why it is that when we're first losing our sight, we think it's embarrassing to be blind. We don't want to carry that white cane for nothing because we don't want people to know that we're blind. Well, my experience is because I came to grips with my blindness, when I'm out doing things, I command respect from the sighted people because they're amazed that I can walk and even find the bathroom, let alone do anything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it is not an embarrassment to carry that cane. It's a badge of honor because you're not sitting at home waiting for the check. You're out there doing something.
Right.
So changing your attitude and liking who you are. It's okay to be black. It's okay to be blind. It's okay to be in a chair. It's okay to be deaf. We just have to live with who we are and then make the best of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we always can have an excuse. I've known a lot of blind guys that have had excuses why they can't X. But it all comes down to individual choice and desire. Number two, I had to learn to turn a weakness into a strength. Some people think blindness is a weakness. I had to hitchhike to work when I was in high school and wrestling. I learned contact sport. I earned the name Lucky in high school because in high school you have wrestling is a 6 minute, three 2 minute periods for a total of 6 minutes. I knew to overcome my weakness of being blind, I had to be in better physical condition than my opponent. So I was the first kid in the practice room, the last kid to leave, because at the end of that six-minute period, the sighted kid would look up and see the clock was almost to be out, and he was out of gas, and I still had energy because I was in better condition. I pinned him in the last few seconds, and I pinned two guys in two different matches back-to-back in 5:59.
Mm.
1 second to go, and the sighted kid gave up because he looked at the clock.
Mm.
I didn't give up because I couldn't see the darn clock.
There you go. There you go.
So I couldn't drive to work, so I hitchhiked. I couldn't do certain things, so I had to memorize things. I had to work on my memory skills. I had to work on my personal skills because it doesn't matter if you're blind or sighted. If you're acting dorky, you're not going to get a job. It has nothing to do with blindness. It has to do with how you handle yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Number three, I learned I had to set goals. And those goals had to be challenging but obtainable. I peed the bed till I was 12. I used to have a goal to not go to college wet in the bed.
Wow.
I had to set goals to know that I couldn't. My father had Crawford Tree Service as I grew up. He taught me to change oil in trucks and tires and rotate them and spark plugs and run chainsaws and wood splitters. He didn't ever say to me, you can't do that. He always said, how are you going to do that? That's why early on I said I was blessed with good parents, because they didn't ever say, you can't do that because you're blind. So I set goals, I work hard and obtain them, and it's a if you don't have a goal, you're kind of like a ship out in the ocean without a rudder. You're going somewhere. You're just not controlling where you're going.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Our goals help us be that rudder in life to know, are we getting there? People always say, how do you know when you're successful? I like what Earl Nightingale said. He said, you're successful when you're having a progressive realization of a worthy ideal.
Hmm.
Now, that doesn't mean you have to be at the end to know if you're successful. It's, are you progressing on the path for a worthy goal? And if you are progressing, making progress, you're successful. It isn't just when you get to the end of the world. It's as you make your journey.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing after setting goals, this is the biggest one, I think. I learned to try. Try is one of the best three-letter words there is on the earth. Are you willing to try to do things and challenge yourself to figure out the way?
Wow.
I've been fortunate to do all kinds of things. I've downhill snow skied, I've cross-country skied, I've climbed mountains, I've rope propelled off the top of the tallest building in Sioux City, Iowa. What do you think the worst thing about rope propelling off the top of the tallest building in Sioux City, Iowa? What do you think the worst was?
Falling. Falling. I'm afraid I'm going to fall.
I was on the board of directors of the first Big Brothers and Big Sisters organization in Sioux City back in 1976. And they came to me and said, hey, we're fundraising. We want old past board members to commit $1,000 and donations and rope propel off the top of the building. And I said, sure, I'll do it.
Wow.
Well, I got to tell you, when I got up on top of that building and I put my legs over the side of the building and I could hear the band and the people down below, I thought of that country music song. What was I thinking? But the worst part of doing it was thinking about it.
Thinking.
It's the thinking about things that gets us in trouble sometimes. We give it way too much time. Doing it was simple. Any common sense says it couldn't be risky or they couldn't do it.
Hmm.
It had to be a safe thing or they could not do it as a fundraiser.
Mm. Wow. Wow.
Because my dad taught me to try stuff, if I have an electric problem or a plumbing problem in my house, I will either fix it or I will have screwed it up so bad that the plumber's going to earn his keep when he gets here, because it's not going to be just an easy fix. Because if it's an easy fix, I've done it.
Exactly. Wow. Wow.
And when I try to do things and succeed, it triggers endorphins in your brain that's just like a drug. It makes you say, well, wow, that felt good to get that done. And if I can do that, well, maybe I can do this. And it feeds upon itself if you will try. And as you succeed, you keep trying more and more things.
Wow. That's magic. That's magic. What you just said, that's magic. That is very magical.
And I learned I had to dream. I had to dream of things beyond my wildest dreams. I grew up in a low-income, poor family. If there's a slum of Grinnell, Iowa, I grew up in the heart of the slum of Grinnell, Iowa. And I can remember dreaming, can I ever get a job as a blind guy? And I got one. And I can remember, could I ever have a job where I could wear a tie? Then I got one. And then pretty soon I wished I had a job that I didn't have to wear a tie. But every time I set my goals and would dream about a higher, I used to dream, if I could ever make $20,000 a year, I'd be in hog heaven. And then I started making $20,000. Well, then I got thinking, if I ever had to pay $20,000 a year in taxes, then I got to where I was paying over $20,000 a year in taxes. And then I got, if I could ever make $100,000 a year, and then I got to make $100,000 a year. And it just, I kept challenging myself and trying to make my goals come true. Those basic steps have served me so well in my life. And it's an internal motivator. But I got to tell you, Dr. R.G. Lang said it best when he said, my experience of my experience is my experience of my experience. And your experience of your experience is your experience of your experience. Mm-hmm. Now, what does all that mean? Mm-hmm. We're all different. Mm-hmm. We all have to find out what will work for us. Mm-hmm. And what works for Richie Crawford isn't necessarily what's going to work for you. But it's your job to take hints and ideas, take the good parts that work for you, and leave the rest behind until another time when you find out, well, maybe that will work. So that's a real challenge for us, and I hope I can help in some way.
Richie Crawford, you have been so amazing. Such amazing, not even an interview, a great storyteller, a great motivator, a great empowering person in this show today. And I really hope that someone is listening to this when it airs and they know that they can do it. You're living proof that it can be done. And there's nothing to stop anybody but ourselves. No one can stop us but ourselves. There'll be people out there that'll tell us we can't do it, but like you said, oh, I'm gonna show you.
You know, watch.
Watch. Hide and watch. I like that. Hide and watch. I'm gonna use that, Mr. Crawford. I'm gonna use hide and watch.
You sure can.
you are in South Dakota now, right?
Yes, I live in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
South Dakota. Right.
My wife of 43 years.
Wonderful.
Three children, three grandchildren. Life is so good to me.
So good to you. And I just want to say you've been a treasure, and I just know that someone is going to get blessed by this information that you've given us.
Well, I will tell you, like I said earlier, I've helped 11 blind guys get into the business. Not everyone is successful, but I've had a lot of sighted people I know got into the brokerage business, and they weren't successful, so it's not it's a hard thing to do. But I'm a free resource. I'm retired now. I'm 76 years old, I'm healthy, and I...
That's amazing. And audience, my friends out there, you heard it from Mr. Rich Crawford. He's an amazing, amazing person.
I will also encourage, we need to read books about successful blind people. There's a lot of them out there. NLS has a bunch of them. And I read one by a guy who said, losing your sight is not nearly as devastating as losing your hope.
Wow. That is amazing. That's thoughtfulness. And you know what I wanted to ask you as well? I always ask people this question that have gone through something or have a disability or a challenge in life. If you could change things, if you could not be blind today, if you couldn't, if the lights could be turned on for you, you could see the world through your eyes, would you? Would you want to?
You know, I grew up at a time, if I could have seen, I'd have been drafted into Vietnam and I probably wouldn't have lived.
Wow.
As I look back on my life, I am so blessed to have had good health, because I tell you, in 41 years of helping people manage their money, not one time did any of my clients on their deathbed call me and say, Richie, how's my portfolio? Mm-hmm. If you don't have your health, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
So it's awesome for me to be able to sit here and say, you know what? Because I was blind, I made a hell of a good life for me and my family and my grandkids and other blind people. And that's, it doesn't get any better than that.
Doesn't get any better than that. And it's well said, my sir, my friend, my kind friend. Thank you so much for being here on Connect to Success. It's been an honor to speak with you, and it's been an honor to get all this valuable information and these great things that you've given to us. And I want to thank you again, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Look forward to it, too. Have a wonderful day.
You too. It was a pleasure having Rich Crawford on with us for the last couple of months. I hope you've been inspired and empowered to connect to your own success. This has been a magical show today, and I want everyone to remember that. Anything you want to do, you can do. Nothing can stop you. The sky isn't the limit. Only you are. This is Connect to Success, and we want you to join us every fourth Tuesday at 2 p.m. We also want you to tune in to another NCRS program about making smart financial choices. Money Matters. It airs Fridays at 9 p.m. The content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. Well, our time has ended for this episode of Connect to Success. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm your hometown girl, Shadate Hargett Hill. See you next time on the radio.